Hello and welcome to Weapons and Warfare for Straight Arrow News. I'm your host, Ryan Robertson. Just ahead on this week's episode, we're heading for open waters as the Navy eyes Boeing's Orca, an autonomous underwater vehicle for the future of their hybrid fleet. Plus, ready, aim, fire. I get a first-hand look at the Smart Shooter Smash Hopper, a lightweight remote-controlled weapon station using their Smash Fire Control technology. It's a remarkable system and one of those things that just makes you say, wow. And we have an update on the innovative work happening at Sherrow Marine. We'll tell you why their propellers could soon be on a Navy craft near you. But first, let's tackle some headlines you may have missed. The Army is looking for some balance in the force. For the second year in a row, the nation's biggest branch of service is asking lieutenants serving in four overstaffed career fields to volunteer for transfer into one of five understaffed positions. Called the Officer Rebranching Program, Army leadership is looking for lieutenants currently serving in the infantry, armor, field artillery, or the engineer branch to switch to air defense, finance, logistics, and signal corps, to name a few. Of the request, the director of the Army Human Resources Command's Readiness Division, Colonel Shay O'Neill, says, "Offering these opportunities allows us to retain individual officers at the beginning of their careers while rebalancing the force for long-term readiness." Last year's effort saw more than 130 lieutenants voluntarily change career fields, and the Army is hoping by offering more options, it'll get more takers this year. The F-35's year of twists and turns is taking another twist. At issue now, the F-35A version and its onboard 25mm cannon. The problem? Well, a February Pentagon report from the Office of the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation says the cannons don't shoot straight. The heavily redacted report, published by the Project on Government Oversight, details issues with design and installation. The F-35A, used by the Air Force, has a four-barreled 25mm Gatling-type cannon mounted internally above the aircraft's left engine intake. The gun can fire 3,300 rounds per minute, but is fed from a 180-round magazine. The F-35B and C models don't have internal guns, and if you ask an Air Force pilot if they ever expect to use the gun in a dogfight, the answer is no, as the F-35 is built to take care of threats from a considerable standoff distance. Basically, if you got into a dogfight, something went wrong. But the eventual retirement of the A-10 Warthog could add close air support and strafing runs to the F-35A's wide array of responsibilities. In March, a statement from the F-35 Joint Program Office to the War Zone said the issues had been addressed and the gun is effective. But work continues to improve the gun's lethality. Talk about holiday shopping. AeroVironment, whose P550 we profiled last week, signed an agreement to buy another former subject of a Weapons and Warfare feature, Blue Halo. It's an all-stock deal worth $4.1 billion. Quite the stocking stuffer. The agreement brings Blue Halo's efforts in space technologies, counter-uncrewed aircraft systems, directed energy, electronic warfare, cyber, artificial intelligence, and other emerging technologies under the AeroVironment umbrella. The submarine, an iconic piece of any advanced Navy's fleet. Also an icon on the big screen from The Hunt for Red October.
Steer right, 315.
Wait a minute, that's hadn't ended for a few though.
Steady bearing still, 315.
Estimate range 6,000 yards.
To Crimson Tide.
Captain, I relieve you of your command of this ship. Cobb, escort the captain to his stateroom. I'm assuming command.
You're not assuming anything.
Chief of the boat, Captain Ramsey's under arrest. Lock him in his stateroom.
And even the ill-fated down periscope.
Have you any last words before you walk the plank, sir?
You can't do this, you maniac! This is the modern Navy! People don't walk the plank!
Captain Blood! Consign him to the briny deep!
Okay, admittedly, not so iconic for Kelsey Grammer.
For Hollywood, it's easy enough to play at high stakes on the high seas, but for those charged with making real-world decisions, with lives potentially at stake, there's nothing fictional about it. That's one reason why military leadership around the world is investing in the next evolution in underwater deterrence. Meet the Orca. While it does share the same name as a low-budget 1977 thriller, which terrified me as a child...
What in hell are you?
Man and Orca.
The similarities, thankfully, end there. This autonomous modular platform, built by Boeing for the United States Navy, is a first-of-its-kind vehicle capable of serving in a wide range of mission types in the open water. On its own, the Orca checks in at 51 feet long. When outfitted with Boeing's largest payload section, which is 34 feet on its own, the Orca can stretch out to 85 feet. Powered by a diesel-electric engine, the Orca can travel a little more than 7,400 miles on a full tank. To put that into perspective, that's about the same distance from the California coastline to China's, making it possible to travel from one side of the planet to the other without the need to resupply or carry life support systems. Technically known as an extra-large uncrewed undersea vehicle, or XLUUV, the Navy made an initial buy of four in 2019 before eventually bumping the order up to six.
The Navy added a sixth vehicle to that contract as a test article, which has been really great because we were able to get that vehicle into the water over a year ago and be able to really start seeing how it's performing, learning about, you know, the different hardware and software that's in that vehicle and putting it through its paces operationally before we deliver the vehicles that'll get fielded to the fleet.
Those vehicles represent a potential expanded array of strategic and tactical options for a service that's turning more and more of its attention to possible threats in the Pacific, aka China. Ann Stevens, Boeing's Vice President of Maritime and Intelligence Systems, says the Orca will allow the Navy to carry out previously unattainable missions and change the game when it comes to undersea warfare.
What are the capability gaps that are still elusive to them? And, you know, do we see the potential for this technology to expand to, you know, a vehicle that doesn't require a host ship, a vehicle that can go, you know, 6,500 nautical miles and traverse the ocean?
While the hardware of the Orca is well on its way to proving its worth and the type of work it can perform, Army Intelligence Officer John Moloch tells us it's the autonomous piece of the puzzle that will likely make it an integral piece of the Navy's battle plan for future conflicts.
What we need to continue to work on is these vehicles being able to do things like conduct a cyber attack or cyber defense at the same time as communicating with the joint fires environment and the GPS and navigation environment. All of these things have to happen in concert. And that's, again, a challenge to do when it's fully autonomous. But I suspect that the Navy, as well as other services, will get this done in the next few years.
The Orca also represents the ability to fill areas of need for a branch struggling to modernize and stay in front of potential adversaries.
You know, you can see in the news the challenges that we're facing, building the next ballistic class of submarine, the Columbia, trying to build, you know, enough Virginia class submarines, and looking at our near peer threats and the gap that is there. And I feel like this is just a great capability to help complement that gap that we're seeing right now.
Of course, the U.S. isn't the only country working to develop XLUUVs. Last November, a team of British engineers successfully demonstrated an autonomous submarine of their own. Built by BAE Systems and called the Hearn, it's already completed the first set of in-water trials and demonstrations. Back on this side of the pond, Boeing expects to deliver the first Orca to the Navy in early 2025. Then the Navy has some more testing to do, which will last through the fall. Then there's the crew certifications with the Orca's handlers. And then finally, after that, the first Orca should be ready to sail for the Navy.
Serving you clarity through context, our mission at SAN is to deliver the news straight down the middle. We're different from mainstream media because we spotlight distorted headlines and show you how to do it too. Discover stories that right and left-leaning outlets are choosing not to cover by using our Media Mist tool. Download the SAN app and turn on notifications to have straight facts delivered right to your phone or tablet, and get straight facts anytime at SAN.com.
Colonel William Prescott is often credited with saying, "Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes." He was supposedly giving the command to Revolutionary troops defending Bunker Hill. Whether he actually said that or not is subject to debate among historians. What's not up for debate is the phrase's intention. Make your shot count. So, in that spirit, here are the Smart Shooter Smash 2000L and the Smash Hopper, our weapons of the week. While the rifle may have been the 20th century soldier's best friend in the 21st, their fire control system probably isn't too far behind. One likely candidate for that gig is the Smash 2000L, built by Smart Shooter, an Israeli defense contractor with operations in the United States. It's an electro-optical fire control system that works on just about any gun available.
So it's real simple. All you do, it acts like a standard reflex sight, so you get like a dot reticle that you look through the field of view. That's your aiming point, right? And so once you decide you're going to engage something, you hit the button, it starts to do the calculation to that target, and you'll see a crosshair pop up, and all you do is move, you pull the trigger down, you hold it down, and you move the crosshair into the disturbed reticle, and it does not release the round until this says it has 100% solution. That's why it's so accurate.
We caught up with Smart Shooter's Scott Thompson at AUSA's annual meeting, where he walked us through the system's finer points.
The other thing is that once you're locked on a target, it continues to update the ballistic solution. So that's why we can hit moving targets. That's why you can be unstable, you can be wounded, you can be exhausted, you could be inexperienced. You know, with general weapons, it doesn't matter. Once you're locked on that target, the system will hit that target.
But what really caught our eye was this, the Smash Hopper, a lightweight remote-controlled weapon station. The Hopper, when paired with their fire control system, helps operators engage ground targets and small UAVs, or drones, as many people like to call them. It can be used in a fixed position or mounted to a vehicle as well.
What we're trying to do here is demonstrate our ability to have a mobile counter UAS capability. Because obviously this is a huge threat for the Air Force. They're worried about air bases, you know, and so we can, because they don't have a lot of kinetic solutions at this point, and this is one of the best that's out there right now, we think. So
we have it mounted to a vehicle right now, but even a dismounted soldier, if they're setting up camp,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it normally comes with a tripod.
Yeah, it's a little security, an automated security.
Right. We've had it on UGVs, we've had it on small robots and tunnels, we've had it on telescoping masts. So because it's so lightweight, it can integrate to almost any kind of platform. It's really easy.
In August, we introduced you to Greg Sherrow of Sherrow Marine. When we caught up with him, he was in Tampa for Soft Week looking to drum up interest in his revolutionary propeller from the Special Forces community. Well, that effort paid off, and his innovation could soon be on a wide array of military watercraft. That's the subject of this week's Comms Check. In early December, Sherrow Marine announced a deal with ADS, a government contract supplier, that will make the Sherrow propeller an approved supply option for the DoD. It's a development more than a decade in the making for the Michigan-based company.
They're going to help us connect with government agencies that we've been wanting to connect to for a long time. And have been looking for really efficient ways to do that. This efficiency is going to lead to more war fighters getting their hands on our technology faster. And that is better for them. And what's good for them is good for us.
Sherrow says his patented design is the first significant leap in propeller technology since the 1830s, eliminating the traditional prop blade in favor of a loop design. It's a change that Cheryl says improves the riding experience, reduces noise, and is considerably more fuel efficient. It's also something we were able to experience firsthand in the waters around Tampa.
For special operations community, the quieter, obviously it's stealthier, right?
Yeah.
But there's less vibration, so that also is gonna be better on the sensors, be better on the operators on board, all that, right?
Yeah.
It'll be less vibration, which is better on the operators. Less vibration means you're gonna reduce the detectability of the vessel, which also has a huge benefit for the operators. And just the fatigue of listening to a really loud, say motor, it's not the motor, propeller, for an extended amount of time, can really wear on you over time.
Yeah.
And so by reducing that, there's just a tremendous, lifestyle benefit to all operators.
It's experiences like that which are helping Chero Marine get the kind of momentum needed to break into the defense contracting arena.
They say, wow, I thought it was snake oil. I gotta be honest with you, Greg. I thought it was just marketing, and being here right now on this boat, I'm a believer. And that's what we see again and again and again, because the claims are so dramatic. You have to see it to believe it.
One significant advantage Cheryl says his company has is the ability to build specific props in very little time, putting their hardware in the hands of end users with the type of speed the DoD says it needs as U.S. forces continue to modernize.
We can go from concept to water in 12 hours, whereas it will take traditionally, if you use investment cast processes, which is the norm for prototyping, it can take 3 months to get a prototype. But we can go from concept to water in 12 hours.
While their history is primarily with recreational watercraft, Cheryl says the deal with ADS is opening several avenues of opportunity.
We're also hearing a lot of requests for autonomous. People want, they want autonomous vessels, they want, and they want range. And so, the landscape is different. The geography for a specific need is different, but also the requirements of what people are looking for, what agencies are looking for is different. They want autonomous, they want range. And when it comes to autonomous, you want controllability. And we have the propeller that gives you the most control on your vessel that is possible.
As for what's next, Cheryl says his team is looking into drones, line pumps, basically anything that uses a traditional prop or fan blade.
All opinions expressed in this segment are solely the opinions of the contributors.
All right, folks, that's going to just about do it for us this week on Weapons and Warfare. Remember, you can always catch up on past episodes and see some of the other stories I do for Straight Arrow News on our website, san.com, as well as all of our social media platforms. So be sure to like and subscribe to those if you haven't done so yet. Okay, so for this week's wrap, I thought I'd talk about a major upcoming holiday and the importance it holds for people all over the world. Hanukkah, of course. So my family does Hanukkah, and we're teaching our youngest about it for the first time this year. Hanukkah is the story of Judah Maccabee, his brothers, and the uprising they led against the Greeks during the 2nd century BCE. It was a long time ago. The Greeks controlled the Jewish temple and would not let the Jews practice their beliefs. Judah and the Maccabees couldn't stand it any longer, so they fought back against the Greeks. They smashed their oppressors and recaptured the temple, where they could relight the menorah, the single light source in the Jewish people's most holy place. The story of Hanukkah is all about finding ways to keep the light going when it feels like the world is filled with darkness. And as the Maccabees showed, sometimes we have to fight to keep the light going. You can't just assume it will always be there. Maccabee actually means hammer in Hebrew, which is why Judah and his followers are called the Maccabees, because when the time came, they hit back hard. So whether you celebrate the Festival of Lights or not, I think we can all learn something from the Maccabees. Keeping the light going is hard work. There are forces who will try and stop us from doing it. And simply put, we can't let them do that. For senior producer Brett Baker, video editor Brian Spencer, and graphics artist Dakota Patillo, I'm Ryan Robertson with Straight Arrow News, signing off.